Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed.
Everybody has questions that aren't being answered.
All right, folks, we're about to get into a wild episode here. If you are not already a Patreon subscriber, this is a good one to start out on. I'm going to keep this short and sweet. Head over to patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast to get full versions of all the episodes that are on Dangerous World Podcast here for only $3. You get bonus episodes for $5. And then, full access for only $10. Guys, appreciate that very much. Dangerous World Podcast on Patreon.com. Also, the merch store. You have DangerousWorldStore.com. Get all your t-shirts, get your stickers, support the show in that way if you choose. If not, just leave a 5-star review. That's the easiest, freest, quickest way that you can help the show grow. And you can also tell a friend or two about it. I want you to annoy your family and by just nonstop talking about conspiracies and the shit that you learn on this show here. Okay. So with that being said, this is a extremely, extremely fun episode. Enjoy the show, guys. Well, all right, folks, this is going to be a pretty darn interesting episode, something a little different to change the pace and maybe offset some of the deep, dark geopolitical stuff that I was talking about last episode. Well, solo episodes are pretty fun for sure. Just to kind of switch things up, push myself a little bit. And then, looking into all that Safari Club stuff was real interesting. There was one connection I didn't make that I wanted to point out real quick is that Obama's dad, also by the same name, Barack Obama Sr., was a Kenyan politician. And that's significant because the whole Safari Club property was based in Kenya. So that was just an interesting connection that I missed somehow. Also, this is the first episode that the show's doing since the Texas shooting, this weird, weird tragedy where this kid was supposedly poor, but he had like a $70,000 F-250, pretty new from what I understand, if not very brand new, and then some very expensive guns. So, yeah, he's an 18-year-old living at home, and he had his own job and shit like that, but I don't understand how this kid has so much money. And not only that, but he was picked on by high schoolers and then went and shot some elementary school kids. None of it makes sense. And there is something that I'm going to be looking into a little more, which is called Operation Deep Dream, if I'm not mistaken. And this is a Google program that is supposedly like mixing, hypnosis with artificial intelligence. So it's something really weird that we're going to be getting into here. I might tap into my buddy Shannon, who actually makes an appearance later in this episode really quickly to tell us about a Freemason entity, supposedly an 8th generation human known as Tubal Cain. And this guy is essentially the first blacksmith ever. So he talks about some really interesting stuff. And Shannon brought this to my attention. So big shout out to him. They still do shout outs, right? I think that's cool. It's not dumb to say a shout out. This is like the old, like the 90s or 2000s radio. It's real, real hacky. But I have some help on this episode, okay? You may know her as the BlackRock intern. You may know her as a person that misquotes Metallica songs.
When am I ever going to live that down?
Shut up, you haven't been introduced. Or you may know her as Kim, which is her real Christian name. And she did some good work on this, a lot of work to research for an entire episode like this, especially when, as you would say, it's been scrubbed widely off the internet. Now, I've been, trying to crank out 2 episodes every week. It gets tough when you're just straight up researching and you got a full-time job and all this shit. So as I'm doing my normal thing, we came across, how did we come across this?
Well, I was watching one of those weird TV shows that you somehow pay attention to that catches your eye. What in the World or something. And they had this, you know, zoomed out look of a military fortress with a tower on top. And it turned out to be the Rock of Gibraltar. And they casually mentioned that, oh, by the way, you know, there's a bunch of data servers hosting a bunch of online gambling casinos in the middle of that rock. No biggie. And that's all they said. I was like, wait, what? There's a bunch of data servers inside an old military base? That's a little weird. What do they do? And so I looked into it, and it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and you've been looking into it for quite some time. We sort of started this actually 2 or 3 weeks ago looking into it.
And, yeah, and it just got more intense and more intense, and then you just blew my mind today.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, there was a really interesting thing that we came across, which we'll definitely make sure is something that y'all can hear. I don't know if we should run through a little quick history from the Gibraltar website. Do you think that that's fitting just for people that may not know?
If you want to like run through the battles that took place in all the centuries, because that's pretty much the only thing that I didn't write down is how Gibraltar has been fought over for literal centuries.
Yeah, well, I'll just go off this site here. It seems like a pretty legit source. It's the jibmuseum.gi. And it's just the history. So this is long. I'll rifle through this real quick, though. So the Rock of Gibraltar is a Jurassic limestone mountain, basically, formed from the shells of tiny sea creatures, which compacted layer upon layer on the seabed some 200 million years ago. Between 60 and 20 million years ago, movement of Earth's tectonic plates uplifted these layers of rock to their present position, where they've been shaped by the sea and weather to give the Rock of Gibraltar the iconic form that we recognize today. And there's a lot of weird shit going on with these people, right? I mean, so this is essentially the center of business, in your opinion. It's gone from being this prehistoric cave created by a bunch of sea creatures that makes this limestone cavern to a lot of occult meanings. And I mean, you say the center of business is one thing.
Yeah, well, currently speaking, the Rock of Gibraltar is the center for big business right now. It is the business capital of the world, kicking out Dubai. But the territory of Gibraltar is a giant peninsula with a fortress like mountain, turned into tons of military installments, then turned into a $1 billion data center. The British pound is the territory's money. Gibraltar is the only overseas territory owned by the EU, and the income tax is lower than the UK. Also, non-resident companies don't pay capital gains tax, gift tax, wealth tax, or estate tax. In fact, Gibraltar is the lowest tax rate in Europe. That is why so many businesses flock there to have their business name in Gibraltar, because of the taxes and because of those servers. Let's see. Most companies registered there are online based, and of that, 50% or more are online casinos. So basically, 90% of all online casinos in the world store their data in the Gibraltar Rock.
Interesting. And what's so crazy about it to me, though, is honestly like the limestone, like just that it seems like there's significant aspects of limestone, and, you know, whether it's technology or some sort of worship. It seems significant, right? I mean, you have the Phoenicians, specifically sea traders, made use of these caves as places of worship between 800 BC and 200 BC. So there's some crazy history here. And then
and it's strange that, you know, the British government owns it now after so much fighting, and like the Spanish have been trying to take it from the Brits, and like, gracefully offering tons of different shit to take it from the British, like in current times, and they've always just said no, it belongs to the British government.
Well, so this is what's interesting too, is when we get into medieval history, which is what you're talking about, in 711 AD, Berber troops from North Africa, so this is probably from like the Morocco area, under the leader Tariq Ibn Zayad, and there's actually places that are named after him. And you have the first mention of Moors here, and the oldest castle or the oldest structure on this rock is it's called Moorish Castle. And what's interesting when I was looking into the Moors, and this isn't something I've heard brought up really before, is that the Moors were essentially, I mean, it's kind of like the original N-word, honestly. Like, if you look up what Moore comes from, it's basically white Christian Europeans calling black Muslims Moors, and they even called them Blackamoors. Now, you have some different tribes coming out of Africa, and I looked at all of Africa, not just North Africa, and not one of them is called the Moors. So, it, you know, I was talking with my friend Matt, who's real big into old history and, you know, different explanations of history. And I was mentioning to him, like, it would be like if black people or if white people were sitting here calling an ancient empire like the Honky Empire or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's totally a slanderous thing. It's not a positive thing.
Yeah, we still have to do a rant about all the slang terms in the world.
Oh, God. Yeah, I found a great source for racial slurs. It's the Racial Slur Dictionary. And man, it is voluminous. I mean, as you can imagine, the Jews and the blacks have a lot of names in there. But there's some really funny ones for like Norwegians. That's what your mom is, right? And what was it? Like a reindeer fucker and a sea monkey. Yeah. So it's just funny, you know, that kind of shit's fun, but
terrible.
Oh yeah, horrible, but it's just funny, you know, why not laugh about it a little bit. Now, I'm going to skip through history a little bit here because I want to get into the crazy shit, but this is the British Gibraltar and this is kind of currently where we're at today.
Yeah.
Even though they have switched from, I think twice they've switched from British control to someone else. Was it Spain?
Yeah, they actually go back and forth. And Gibraltar technically has been fought over and sieged and then sieged again 14 different times throughout history.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's pretty fucking crazy, honestly. Because, yeah, you have British and Dutch forces under Admiral Sir George Rooke and Prince George of Hesse-Darmstadt, respectively, captured Gibraltar in 1704 during the War of the Spanish Succession, which I think this is where Franco was involved, if I'm not mistaken.
There is tons and tons of back and forth, and it's really, really difficult to keep track of. So I basically said, like a synopsis of it would be that Great Britain has had, or, you know, the UK has had their hands on Gibraltar for the last 200 years.
Well, and what's so interesting about why it's fought over, because the Nazis even tried to take it in World War II, but they were unsuccessful. It's such a strategic location. You can essentially shut off this point of Spain where it is.
Yeah, it's considered so close.
Yeah, it gets so close to Morocco that you can easily shut off access to that whole sea. What is it, the Black Sea right there? I'm so bad at geography. I probably shouldn't even bring it up, but it's just a very, very strategic place and it's high up and there was cannons mounted at the top of this thing where they could just shoot down and they could essentially make it so no one is crossing into this area for whoever holds it. And the Brits, like you said, Kim, have held on to this for, at this point, centuries, right?
Yeah. They've had it for the last 200 years. It's pretty crazy. And currently, the territory is the world's biggest gaming hub for several years, completely under everybody's radar. No one knew. And like I said already, it knocked Dubai out of place for the startup capital of the world. And Dubai has never been knocked out of place. That was the first time that ever happened. And all these online companies literally only do business in Gibraltar for, number one, the tax breaks, and number two, the uninterrupted server space available at the rock inside the Rock of Gibraltar, which is 500 meters down in a super classified secret bunker. But it sits a highly guarded subdivision facility housing data centers full of servers, and it, like I said, 500 meters deep inside the limestone rock. It's crazy. The entire operation is in a tunnel called Admiralty Tunnel. It was dug by the British in 1893 during the World War II, you know, digging out of all the tunnels. Like I said, it took 200 years of all the tunnel digging, bombing and all kinds of stuff. They would just throw dynamite at the wall, I assume. I'm joking.
Well, and this seems like such a crazy, and by the way, it was the Mediterranean Sea. I feel like a real retard here, but
yeah.
So you can block off because of how close Morocco gets to Spain at this point of Gibraltar. But when you were telling me about this and how, you know, it being limestone, which is very difficult to break through and all this shit.
Yeah.
I feel like this is some sort of doomsday bunker for the world's elite.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So where the data centers are housed right now, which currently is every single online banking website you ever go to or will ever go to, or any gaming website or app that you'll ever go to or see online, comes from Gibraltar, the servers. But right now, the Admiralty Tunnel, where all the servers are, is 3,300 square meters big, large, and it's split up into 80 separate rooms sublet to several different data server centers. All different companies, all different, you know, place, you know, different companies trying to sell you server space or have private server space for different government entities, which I'll get into. But Wikipedia shows Admiralty Tunnel is, the status of it is private. Its owner is the government of Gibraltar, and its operator is Continent 8, a company
that's a weird name.
Yeah. And like all the companies that are named that have servers that are the biggest server spaces in Gibraltar Rock have crazy names. But Continent 8, let's see. The Admiralty Tunnel status is private. Its owner is the government of Gibraltar, and its operator is Continent 8, which is a company originally called Vault Technology Services, a very interesting name. And they actually created the entire facility inside the tunnel that houses all those server companies. So the demand and supply for server space inside the Rock has more than doubled since it began. And the Rock hosts all businesses. Mostly e-banking and e-gaming is based in those secure data centers on that giant limestone, or inside the giant limestone rock.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I mean, it's just, it's interesting to think that this territory that's been fought over for so long, you would think that it would have some sort of technological reason for these primitive people to have wanted it, right? Like the reason too why it's crazy to think that this might be some sort of bunker is the amount of space that you're not even allowed to go into, even if you do take a tour down there. And throughout World War II, especially, it's pretty well documented that it was like a little mini city down there. They had a hospital, they had water.
You're getting ahead of us. You're getting ahead of yourselves.
Well, I just wanted to throw it out there because there's a lot of shit. I mean, we're going to get into alchemy and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, like the one tunnel hosting all these top secret servers that pretty much host all the money online in the world, I think. That space, the tunnel itself, is 3,300 square meters. Yeah. That's huge. That's a giant. It has 80 separate warehouse size rooms.
And you get your 33 in there too.
There, exactly.
All right. Well, yeah, sorry. Get back to your stuff.
Okay. So Vault Technologies is the company that originally created the entire facility, like I said. The Rock hosts all businesses. And let's see, what is Continent 8? That's what we were getting at. Continent 8 owns all the space inside the government-owned tunnel. So they don't own the tunnel, they just own all the space inside of it, which is very, very strange. The company itself has highly secure data center servers. It boasts that it's a tier one peering network, which is literally the fastest uninterrupted data flow in existence. And there's so many different data hosting server spaces, data centers that are hosting server spaces there in that tunnel that I maybe just wanted to list a couple of the super shady ones.
I mean, so
I you listed, a list.
Yeah, you listed a couple here, and these are interesting. And yeah, so like you said, most data centers in this rock here are hosting gaming based companies. And that's an interesting thing to think about just because of how big online sports, you know, with the pandemic really kind of helped perpetuate this, but gambling has become like not only accepted, but it's like, I mean, there's tons of podcasts on this now. It's just gambling and pushing online betting, which is wild to me.
All of a sudden, it's now trusted. I remember when, like, yeah, 10 years ago, like, nobody trusted putting their money in a gambling website because they all thought it was bullshit.
Well, it's not only trusted, like the NFL has partnered with them. Every single big sport, I mean, even the UFC, which I'm a big fan of, they'll show you like the betting lines on everything. On like, okay, this guy's an underdog. This guy's got this. If you bet these three underdogs, you're going to win this. You know, it's just, right, it's wild. And this company, Innova, is a huge, huge proponent of this. And they're actually located in there too. It's a mobile app and software development company that specializes in SEO and secure data storage. So it's an interesting thing. They specialize in gambling companies And they hold a lot of that on their servers.
What they said, what I think was interesting about them is on their company, like, you know, manifest or whatever, what they say they do is they specialize in SEO and secure data storage. But what they really do is like they say that they host mobile app and software development. That's what they say they are, mobile app and software company, right? But really all they do is host the secure data storage for all the e-gaming online.
Well, yeah. And then, you know, you keep going down your list here and you have a World Trade Center company that's officially registered as Rockolo, R-O-C-K-O-L-O. It sounds like a candy. And classified as a 100 rack facility. Did you describe what a rack was?
Yeah, it's very hard to describe this. Like servers are in like cooled off rooms and they're in like, think of like a baking rack, right? You've seen a baking rack with like different shelves on that rack. Different server spaces have different size racks. Some racks will hold like, you know, 4 servers. Some will hold 10, depending on how big the servers are themselves. But like, what does it say that, how many does the Trade Center say?
100 rack facility. And it's been holding private data and classified data specifically since 2017. So that's when Trump came into office. And that's when Obama left, obviously. And I'm always real skeptical of Obama. When some of this stuff goes on around 2016, 2017, I always think about Obama.
That's when that company was created. The interesting thing about it is like, we don't really know how big the rack is. Like it could be a 20 rack. It could be only 4 servers, but the fact that it is 100 racks of servers that are pretty much private and confidential. The only information that I could find, you were the one that told me that you looked it up, that I guess a lot of different places around the world, like weird strategic places, have buildings that are named the World Trade Center.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, we always think that the World Trade Center buildings here in the US are the only ones, but there are others around the world.
And Gibraltar has a building and an office, a business called the World Trade Center.
And an address, right?
Yeah. And that supposedly that company is the one that, is registered as the owner of the business Rockolo that has all the server space inside the Rock. It's very confusing when it comes to all these different subsidiaries and businesses and stuff, because they can hide their assets and hide all kinds of shit so easy.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And then you get into a telecom one here, which is really interesting. In your words, what you were thinking was like the most secret data facility that's in this entire thing is this one called Mount Pleasant. And like we said, it's the company name is a registered Gib Telecom, which is obviously a Gibraltar telecom company. And so this one barely has any information on it. But, you know, most data centers have Gibraltar business addresses, and this company's location is listed as undisclosed Deep Rock facility. Also Gib Telecom, like I said. So that's interesting. Anytime you just get like, instead of an address, you just get undisclosed Deep Rock facility. It kind of reminds you of those deep underground military bases that we're so excited about.
Yeah, I couldn't even find, like I said, I couldn't even find anything. I found that the Mount Pleasant company, corporation or whatever, it literally just said Mount Pleasant, registered the name Gibraltarcom or Gib Telecom. I don't know.
Yeah, Gib Telecom. Yeah. And then what's kind of cool here is that this one also goes back to the World Trade Center in Gibraltar. So, you know, just it seems like more and more of this top secret shit, and again, getting very, very shady and going dark almost around 2016, 2017. And in your opinion, the internet's been wiped of a lot of this stuff, right?
Yeah. Basically, like I just found the shadiest shit, and like the Mount Pleasant company registered the name for the World Trade Center company. It's just like, there's a bunch of weird shit that's like linking everything to everything. So it's really difficult to find anything on those data servers or anything shady about the server centers itself, because they're in the business of scrubbing the internet. That's what they do.
Yeah. Well, when you have a significant portion of like cybersecurity and just a big part of the internet in one area, you would think that they would go great lengths to, you know, make sure. But, you know, and this is so, another thing that's just fucking crazy to me about this is it reminds me of CERN. Are you familiar with CERN? I know my audience is.
Okay.
So with CERN mixing like the occult and technology, it just screams that. And you'll see again later. I mean, if you think that there's coincidences going on at this point.
Did they turn the CERN machine on in 2012? Because I remember people.
Yeah, they just did again recently.
Yeah, too. I remember people calling it the Great Reset of 2012, because now, like, we have the Mandela effect, and we didn't really have that before 2012. So now everybody thinks things are different. And it's because when the CERN machine turned on, it split the fabric of dimensions, and half of us, like, left our dimension that we know. And that's why things look different to us in this one.
Yeah, like the Bernstein Bears. That's always the big one. But so let's move on to like some of the weird shit that's actually going on inside some of the tunnel layouts.
Yeah, now we're going to get into some of the creepy history and creepiness. I just wanted to get through to why, like the why I'm interested in Gibraltar is because of all the creepy servers that are on there now. But that once I started deep diving about Gibraltar, I realized the entire history of its existence is creepy and riddled with, you know, very ominous shit. So the creepy tunnels are very extensive. They run through the rock and peninsula, and most of them were built over a 200-year time frame, and the British claim they built them all, but who knows. The territory, the territory itself, like the ones that have been discovered so far, the British say they claim they built, so whatever. But the territory of Gibraltar itself is only 2.6 miles of peninsula and mountain. That includes the giant mountain. But there is, so far, 34 known miles of underground tunnels, more than double the length of the above-ground road system. That's fucking crazy.
That is nuts.
Yeah. So, and like I said, the British claim all construction for all the tunnels discovered and all the underground everything discovered so far.
Well, so think about all the shit that they could keep down there with 34 miles of tunnels. And if this was some sort of elite bunker in the future, you have your internet technology, right? You have basically everything that you need.
Oh, yeah. There's a doomsday, definitely a doomsday bunker for rich and wealthy people. I guarantee the queen, you know, like we have different mountains here where, you know, elites are allowed to go, silos that go down 50 miles. Well, the Gibraltar Rock is the queen's go-to place for safety.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. This is kind of like what those deep underground military bases and shit are. But I mean, it is something to think about. You know, if we have these 300 families that are like the elite families or whatever.
Right. Right.
They could fit in a 34 mile period or in a 34 mile
space
pretty easily. And so, then, I mean, just again, they'd have all their resources. They had practice runs of this shit.
Yeah. And I'm going to right now go through what the British are like, their explanation for why there's all these tunnels and caves, because they say they have a history of it because they've had it since the 18th century. So there is documentation that 18th century British used the blown out by dynamite tunnels for communication passages and supply rooms. The 19th century British tunneled water reservoirs, supplying all of Gibraltar with fresh water. And
okay, so yeah, why would they need fresh water if they don't plan on doing something down here?
Yeah, so there's fresh water running from the ground underneath the ocean, underneath everything, like underneath the rock, running through the mountain to the entire town. Currently, their water reservoir is in the mountain, and they use that water right now. So, of course, there's one running water, electricity, everything's already in the cave. Yeah, so the 19th century British tunneled the water reservoirs, and by the 20th century, the mountain was a giant military fortress with a living capacity of 16,000 people plus supplies. So that's your crazy doomsday bunker. They literally turned it into a military fortress, and it housed, at that time, 16,000 people. Currently, most of the tunnels in the mountain are owned by the government of Gibraltar, but on Wikipedia, it shows most of the closed tunnels are owned by the Ministry of Defense still, which is a wartime thing, but that's very interesting.
The Ministry of Defense. And then you said that there are tours that people can go on here, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, there's the tourist trap tunnels that you can go to, which is basically two different tunnels that you can walk through. And it's just like World War II, like blown out, dug out tunnels, like at the top of the natural preserve and stuff. And it's really kitschy and super dumb. You can also...
Is it there the spelunking?
Yeah, like I said, you can also go with certain spelunking groups and companies that are in Gibraltar. Like, they're not as tourist trappy because you need to know how to cave spelunk. And you can go spelunking and into the, you know, you're going into the mouth of a known cave. And if you find an entrance that you can squeeze through, a tunnel that you can squeeze through in that known cave, then that's an undiscovered cave. And that's how they found like over 150 different cave and tunnel passages.
It's a bunch of dumb idiot tourists just kind of, and for those who don't know, spelunking is like going caving and you're kind of going through water diving, and shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cave diving. And like what the government, I assume, would do is like, you know, these people are all excited. They found a new cave they want to explore, a new tunnel they want to explore through a certain cave that's open to the public. That tunnel isn't open to the public because it's newly discovered. So what the government will do is jump in, say, thanks for discovering this new tunnel. You're so awesome. It's too dangerous for you to even try to discover or explore. So we're going to seal it permanently. And I say that with air quotes. You know, and so, and it's off limits to those people, but they get credit for discovering something. And that's pretty much how there's 150 different tunnels and caves, because nobody really knows. There's no actual information about them because like the government takes it over the minute it's discovered, which is very crazy.
That number is likely way off from what's actually there because it's such a weird honeycombed, you know, ins and outs. It's like a maze essentially.
Yeah.
And it's kind of dumb luck when these tourists find a new cave and then it, like you said, it gets sealed off, but obviously the government will go in there and fuck around, do what they need to do. Yeah. But who knows how much space is really down there. We're just told about the 34 miles of space. There's likely a lot more down there.
Yeah, we totally think that there's a lot more down there because the Freedom of Information Act just verified a bunch of rumors about certain hidden caves that were sealed shut that have been discovered inside like the World War II bunkers, like by Admiralty Tunnel and by all these tunnels that are, that say they're not being used, but they are in use for certain private companies. And then boom, all of a sudden a secret room is found. And this one, they just disclosed to us, it's called Operation Tracer Cave. In it, it's known as Stay Behind Cave. And during World War II, the British were super worried the Germans were going to try to take Gibraltar. They created a top secret covert operation involving a secret observation post hidden between walls inside the military fortress. So supposedly it is the size of a room, but it was hidden between the walls of two giant rooms.
Was this the one? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Operation Tracer Cave. This is where it's this so crazy, fucked up. Yeah. So this post, I say with air quotes, would remain hidden and operating if the Germans took the rock. So basically a hidden bunker room sealed permanently with six men and supplies enough for 7 years. And I say permanently because the Stay Behind Cave was hidden and sealed until a spelunking group discovered it in 1997. Just like I said, like they just happen upon shit that, you know, breaks because of, you know, tectonic plate shifts or water comes in there and erodes rock. And all of a sudden you have a little, you know, arm size hole that you can see through. And it's a giant room on the other side.
So you did these people, did they get locked in there and then they were killed?
No. So nobody actually knows what happened, but they're, this operation, it says on the paperwork that there was supposed to be six men who volunteered. One was an executive officer and two doctors and three wireless operators, basically radio intel dudes. The Tracer Cave supposedly was never put to use, but there were volunteers listed in British naval records. So they had like six people ready and willing in case it was ever implemented. But for some reason, it was never implemented is what the paperwork says.
So what is your theory on what actually happened here? Do you think that these people were forced to do this experiment or do you think that they actually were volunteers that wanted to try and solve it? Because it's kind of confusing.
Anytime anyone volunteers in the military, that's not a volunteer.
Well, that's not true, but that I would say probably there is definitely some sort of operation potentially going on here. But what would you think it would be for? Well, so they wanted to test out if this room was safe to stay in for 7 years.
Well, kind of. When the room was found by the spelunkers, it was confirmed as the Tracer Cave or the Stay Behind Cave by the only living volunteer, with air quotes, from that mission that never supposedly happened. And he was one of the doctors, which is weird and interesting.
So a guy actually fucking survived?
Well, what happened is, like I said, there was volunteers picked, and on the naval records, it shows six people assigned to do this mission. It never says that in the classified paperwork that was just released, it says that the mission never happened. So what I was going to say is the Freedom of Information Act provided everyone with this top secret British naval intelligence report confirming that doctor that was still alive, his, you know, report and proof and verification that the Stay Behind cave was actually a real thing. It was between bunker walls of a sleeping, you know, bunker and an artillery room right in the middle of the military base, and nobody knew it. It was just found. What I thought was interesting was that the Germans, when they took the cave, the plan was to have those six people only stay for a year. That was what was the plan. But they had provisions for 7 years. And so I don't know why they'd have provisions for 7 years. But when the cave was completed in 1941, a year later, very conveniently, 1 year later, the cave was sealed. So my theory is that they tested the cave out. That's what you were thinking, is that they tested it out. I think that they sealed the six people in the room for 1 year from the minute it was finished, 1941 to 1942. And this is my crazy psycho theory, but when they opened the room from sealing it permanently for a year, when they opened the room, there was only that doctor left. I literally think he was the only one left alive. I think something went horribly awry. He killed everyone, or everyone went crazy sealed up in that room. And when it was found, that poor doctor had to like verify and claim, yeah, that's my murder suicide room. But it, you know, he's like, yeah, that's my mission. That was my room. But
okay, you kind of made it sound like the when the spelunkers went and discovered this cave, the guy was still in there.
That's that's not what I was saying. The guy, they had naval records of who was volunteering, and from those naval records they found one person left alive. So they interviewed him and he verified the spelunker story.
And he said and that the rumors, they actually did stay in there.
No, he didn't say they stayed in there. Okay. He said that it was never, he also said it was never used and it was sealed, but we were ready and willing and volunteers.
So they did the opposite of what the spelunkers thought, even though you just said they confirmed.
Yeah, but okay. I think confusing. That's what I said in the beginning. I said, I think that he did get sealed up. I think that they did because it was finished in 1941, according to the records, but they didn't seal the room permanently and never use it and stop the program until 1942. So there's a year gap where they just had that room, you know? And so I think that they tried to seal someone in that room for a year, or the six people, or do the, you know, they sealed people in the room for a year just to test it. Those people went fucking crazy, and the doctor's the only one left alive. That's my theory. It's completely batshit. It's not true.
So you're thinking too that, well, it might be true. I mean, so you're thinking that this doctor potentially killed these people?
Who knows, man? But if you're locked in a room with six people thinking that you're sealed by concrete and never going to get out, like, who knows? Who knows what could happen? There was two doctors because something bad could happen. So who knows?
Hmm.
You know, that's a disaster, recipe for disaster is how you say it.
So the executive officer, one of the doctors, and then all three of the wireless operators, there's no record of them.
I know for a fact that they all didn't die in that room. I was making, like I said, this is my theory. I know it's not true. The other people just died from natural causes or in World War II.
Okay.
There's so much craziness that happens in the Gibraltar. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like a very occult place, and it's potentially haunted, I would say, too. I mean, it seems like just with the weird rituals and shit that go on down there.
By the way, that murder doctor that I think murdered everyone who didn't, he died in 2014. So it doesn't really matter.
Okay. Interesting. Well, then after that, you have, this is the one that I was kind of referencing earlier with the Nazis. And this is during World War II, this Operation Felix, which is really interesting. Yeah, and this was never executed, right?
Yeah, the reason Tracer Cave is a thing is because of Operation Felix.
So Tracer Cave's after Felix.
Yes, yes. Actually, they said that in, you know, all the documents, it says that Operation Felix was created in 1941 and Operation Tracer Cave was finished construction in 1941. So that's an interesting fact.
Interesting.
Yeah,
that is weird. So yeah, it's right around the same time.
Yeah I think there was a bunch of like,
so they think that Operation Felix, they knew that Operation Felix was going on, so they did Tracer Cave to try and prevent Felix from going down.
They I'm sure that they had a bunch of intel from both sides, and I'm sure that they got wind that, or maybe, you know, it is a strategic thing. Like, of course Gibraltar is a hub, so if the Germans are trying to attack, then they're gonna want to take, you know, a hub of somewhere, or take Spain.
And then so this Operation Felix that we're mentioning here, where it seems very, very tied in with Tracer Cave, never went down, Okay. Nazis kind of pussied out, as they like to do. The only time that they're really down to actually fight is if it's against emaciated Jews that are too tired to fight.
Yeah, they were going to try to invade Spain via Gibraltar, and that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's the worst part that you could possibly try to get through. You know what I mean? It's the tactically the best spot to have. Why would you start there? I don't know. Just a weird, weird thing. But this German general in charge was never given orders to pursue the way that they were trying to go through Gibraltar. Like we were saying, it's way too ambitious to do this. Why not go the exact opposite fucking way? Horrible strategy. Ended up getting the rug pulled out from under it. And honestly, there must have been some sort of information leaked on both sides. I think that in some way, the British knew exactly what was going on here. And the Allies as a whole, right? I mean, the Allies led by the U.S. were really, really good at counter operations, kind of knowing what the enemy was doing a couple steps ahead, partially because they were funding them. So, you know, they probably got a little bit of intel from them in that way. Yeah, it's pretty weird to think about, honestly. But I mean, so again, that's a lot of the technical sort of very concrete actual shit that went down. None of this is a cult in any way, right? You have a lot of military operations. You have like the history of the fighting and why it's such an important spot. The question is, why really is there some underlying meaning to actually having this area? You know, there's that whole phrase, you know, the Rock of Gibraltar is like this fucking very sturdy
solid as a rock.
Yeah, it's solid. It's, you know, Will Ferrell uses it in that movie. It's funny.
Solid as a rock.
I actually didn't even realize that was a real place. But no, it's just, you know, getting into that stuff alone is very interesting. Why is it fought over so much? Other than being just a tactical spot, is there some sort of, you know, spiritual significance to this place in the caves?
Now it's a $1 billion world economic hub.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. Like, you know, potentially, you know, the West really runs the world. That's about to change. But, you know, with Britain basically running this, even though it's not in their area at all, it's kind of wild to think that this is part of Spain, but it's a British area, a British territory.
Yeah.
So again, is there some sort of significant spiritual connection here? As we're about to get into, there's some alchemical weird nonsense going on, which may not be nonsense. There is some, you know, witch migrations to there. There's a festival that we'll mention that has some, you know, witchcraft type shit. And some of these caves have been historically used for sacrifices. There's a lot of devil and demon representation there. I think a good spot to play Shannon's little conversation that him and I had would be right now, just getting into this weird god that the Freemasons worship. The Freemasons would also really take a big liking to this giant limestone cave, right? It's a crazy little spot. What were you going to say?
I was going to say it would make sense why a lot of the national landmarks in Gibraltar are named after the devil.
Yeah, some of the most, right? And they started naming that in the 1800s, from what I understand, which we'll get into. There's some really crazy shit here. But before we get into more of the occult stuff, like I said, I want to play this clip of Shannon and I having a conversation. He's starting a show very soon, and I will keep you all posted on that because this guy's got great information. And anytime I ask for like anything or just mention something to him, he'll send me like tons of articles and PDFs and all kinds of crazy shit to look into, and he stays very informed on this stuff, finds this god called Tubal-Cain, and just kind of breaks it down for us here. So we'll roll into that quick conversation, and we'll be on the other side to talk about some of the craziest shit I've ever heard about some weird cave in Spain. So here we go. All right, so, you know, getting into all this weird stuff with the occult mixed with technology and the new age mixing with old age and all this weird religious stuff and the gods and the entities that they worship, my buddy Shannon here brought up something real interesting, and I wanted you to kind of break this down, dude, with this Tubal-Cain that I had not heard of, and you always do these deep dives and you find really interesting stuff, man, so how does this guy here, who is a historical figure, it sounds like, at least according to the Bible, how does this guy play into like witchcraft and all this like occult religion?
Okay. I'm still learning myself because it goes so deep, but he's related to obviously Cain in the Bible. He goes by a few names, Tobol Cain, T/Cain, Q-A-Y-I-N, Vulcan, Hephaestus, Leyland. It keeps going, but also what's curious is it also says the fallen angel Azazel. So that a tie-in. And then we have stations of the wheel, which we were just actually trying to decipher and talk about ourselves, which says east and west, Samhain and Beltane, October and May, gates of fire and water, blood and merry moons. The totems, the cow, the hawthorn, the bee, the toad, the elder, and the crane. And his tools, it says, are the sword, the stang, the shelg, and the anvil, because supposedly he's the first blacksmith and the first one to create weapons.
Yeah. Okay. So that, so there's so much shit there. So that's why, from your theory, the reason that, you know, he's the first one to make weapons, he's the first mason, potentially. This is probably why the Masons may worship him. Is that what your thoughts were?
Right. Yeah. When, cause he's the first blacksmith. So if you even look in some of their writings, they'll even talk a lot about him. And, as far as him being the first blacksmith.
Interesting, dude. Well, and he is like what we are seeing here, you know, he's from the bloodline of, Adam and Eve, obviously coming from Cain. Right. And, you have about what looks like eight generations is where Tubal Cain comes in. He's the son of Zelah, which, you know, I'm not going to act like I know who that is, but it seems like he definitely represents some sort of evil. Obviously the first one to make weapons, that's very symbolic, right? I mean, like, without weapons there wouldn't be war, right? I'm sure someone would have created weapons at some point after that, but I mean, I don't know if I'm reaching here, but there's a lot of evil shit behind this dude. And the Samhain that he's referred to, that's a Gaelic reference to Halloween as well, right? That's what they call Halloween.
Right, right, right. And you think Cain in the Bible was the first murderer, and this guy's the first one to create weapons, which is a lot better than rock or stick. So he ties into that somehow, I would say.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's just a ridiculously evil bloodline. And then we also found, too, that there's a separate Enoch that is Tubal Cain's great, great, great grandfather. And this is not the Enoch that we know from the Book of Enoch, who is Noah's great grandfather, it looks like, right? According to this time chart, I'm not very educated in the Bible, but it's just an interesting thing, dude. So where do you think the Masons fall in line with Tubal Cain here? Like, in your opinion, even though you're just kind of researching this and this is new to you, how influential do you think that he is on these people?
I think he'd be probably very influential if he's the first, really, you think almost like the first builder, pretty much, out of, he's the first blacksmith. So he's using metals for alchemy and one of probably the first alchemists and all that type of stuff, I would say.
Really?
Right.
See, so they're huge into alchemy too. I mean, you know, looking into all this stuff and we're finding out like all these different metals with Gibraltar, you know, there's the seven, the seven Luciferian metals, and we're still in the process of trying to figure out exactly what those are. But I mean, we're kind of looking into things that I haven't really heard anywhere else, including this.
Right. I'm with you. I'm no expert on any of this, but something that I found that was interesting also was, it says, of special interest to the witches is the concept of the smithing god. Metalsmiths were among the first alchemists, and by virtue of their powers of transmutation of ore into steel, they were once credited with magical powers. Blacksmiths were considered the mages par excellence of this group, and today we find iron horseshoes, iron ore transformed into the god's horns, prized as good luck symbols. The smithing god is often associated with lameness, which is attributed to a folk practice of laming the village smith so that such an important member of society could not leave. Tubal Cain appears to mean he who spices the craft of Cain. The name Cain means smith, or that he is called Tubal Cain in order to distinguish him from the other Tubal, son of Japheth. He's very important to witches. Very important.
See, that's what's really crazy here too, because Gibraltar it is this weird little mecca for some new age witches, at least of a certain sect. And I mean, you mentioned something to me where this guy is like the witch king.
Right. Yeah. Let me see if I can exactly where I find that. Okay. We'll start right here. It says, and this is also weird too, because one of his other names we were saying was Azazel. And it says, according to the book of Enoch, which brings Azazel into connection with the biblical story of the fallen angels located on Mount Hermon, a gathering place of demons from old, Azazel is represented in the book of Enoch as one of the leaders of the rebellious watchers in the time preceding the flood. He taught men the art of warfare, of making swords, knives, shields, and coats of mail, and women the art of deception by ornamenting the body, dyeing the hair, painting the face and the eyebrows, and also revealed to the people the secrets of witchcraft and corrupted their manners, leading them into wickedness and impurity. And this, I thought, was real interesting, that the Luciferians pay attention to this guy too. According to Luciferian tradition, Azazel and Tubal Cain are the same entity. Azazel having chosen Tubal Cain as his earthly vessel when he led the rebellion of the fallen angels. Tubal Cain is of the line of Cain through his father Lamech, marking him with the holy blood of Lucifer. By teaching the daughters of man witchcraft, Azazel slash Tubal Cain became the witch father.
Dude, that's pretty fucking weird. You know, in regard to Azazel here, Azazel, you know, when I first heard that, it was actually with X-Men, right? I mean, there's that disappearing dude, Azazel. And he, in mythology here, or at least in the story of the Bible, he appears in association with the scapegoat, right? The name represents a desolate place where a scapegoat bearing the sins of the Jews during Yom Kippur was sent. During the end of the Second Temple period, his association as a fallen angel responsible for introducing humans to forbidden knowledge emerged due to Hellenization. I don't know what that is. Christian narrative and interpretation exemplified in the book of Enoch. So, I mean, just a big time fallen angel along the lines of Lucifer, it sounds like. And who's the guy, Samael, the guy that maybe was the snake in the Garden of Eden? A lot of people think that it was actually Lucifer, but it was most likely Samael. I mean, these three, they kind of make up like the Holy Trinity, it seems, of hell, the unholy Trinity.
Right. It always seems like, right, like whatever the goodness is doing, the darkness can't really do anything but mimic it or try to copy it. It doesn't seem like it can do its own thing.
Yeah, just invert it and you know, right, flip that energy back around. It's that yin and yang, as above, so below stuff. And him being a alchemist is really interesting too, man. This is something really interesting, dude. I mean, you know, I think that it's something that, again, I hadn't heard of, and it's something that's pretty new to you, but it sounds like you've got a good handle on it. I'd like to talk about it more in the future for sure. And just the idea, I would just say, think about this dude, this Tubal Cain, being essentially one of the devil's right-hand men, right? I mean, this guy is high up, but you know, obviously a real human being at some point. And he's, you know, I don't know. How do you kind of quantify that in your brain? Do you think that this dude was a human that turned into a spirit, or is this just another myth?
I'll be honest. I really don't know. You know, it's like I'm still deep diving with Enoch and as far as everything like that. But it's when you think about it, one thing I find it's weird is in our community and everything, I mean, a lot of stuff is recycled constantly, but we get different takes on it. And it's like, here's a guy. And I'm not saying no one's never done anything on him, but his name has never crossed my path. And I've been around for a while. So it was kind of strange.
When you've been looking into this stuff for quite a while, like you said, you've told me some personal things where it sounds like you've had some spiritual awakenings. We won't share those here, but you know, you've been looking into this, man. You've shared with me the The Dictionary of Angels that you have, which is a fascinating book, it sounds like. And dude, I'm just excited to hear honestly more of your story in regards to this. That'll come out in due time, I'm sure. But I mean, man, just first of all, dude, thank you so much for sharing this. And man, I'm gonna, you know, it just gives us more shit to look into. It seems like it's never ending, dude.
For sure, man. It's fun. Just different avenues. And thanks for letting me come on and talk, man. I'm glad I can help.
Of course, man. Yeah, we'll definitely be looking more into Tubal Cain. And I think that throughout this episode too, you're gonna see how he plays a role in what's going on here at Gibraltar. So again, many thanks, Shannon, and can't wait for your show to start up, brother.
Yeah, no problem, man. It's on its way, slowly but surely, dude.
Secret Squirrel Podcast, baby, here it comes.
It's coming.
All right, thanks, man. Well, I don't know what you think about the whole Tubal Cain thing, but I find it pretty darn interesting, especially when it has to do so much with masonry, the way that there seems to be some serious occult knowledge or just something weird about this cave. And again, you know, this is kind of stuff that we're just looking into. So maybe with the power of the audience, we can get more information here. We had an interesting situation. We did take a short break. I was printing some shirts for some orders that needed to go out. I don't want to bore you with the details, but Kim's taking the dogs out. And as you probably know, I live in the Sonoran Desert, Tucson, Arizona. This is the rattlesnake season. And I don't know if you want to explain what happened. This was kind of interesting.
Okay, so I have one dog that's always on a leash because I don't know if he'll run away or not, because he was a stray that came on Ryan's property, and now we adopted him. But
get to it.
So anyways, one dog's on a leash, two dogs are like not on the leash, but they do what I say pretty much. We're walking around to the normal poop area of the property, and I'm like not paying attention. And Musafina, our Great Dane, walks up to what I thought, I glanced over, I thought it was a stick. She swats at it, and it tries to strike her, starts rattling, and scurries away. And I'm freaking out. I'm screaming for Musafina.
Zero survival instincts you have. So I look outside because I hear not even any of these dogs barking, but the little dog.
Attack the snake as it's running away.
Yeah, the little dog next door, the alleged quote-unquote murderer, who knows? I mean, this is a really, alleged.
The murderer's dog started barking.
Yeah, so we hear that because the snake was rattling, and that's an outside dog. I'm
screaming, probably.
No, I didn't hear you screaming, but I looked outside, and there's a rattlesnake booking across. So I run outside. I'm wearing flip-flops. I grab the shovel, and I thought for 2 seconds, like, fuck, I shouldn't kill this thing with flip-flops. So I came inside, grabbed some shoes, ran back out there, looked for it for 30 minutes, couldn't find it. And I go back to printing, and as soon as I look outside, I see another fucking rattlesnake come out of a hole that's right next to the side of my house and go under my house.
Go under the house.
Yeah. So that's the situation right now. Who knows how many fucking snakes are down there?
I swear to God, that Great Dane, Musafina, saved my life because I would have.
Well, she's barked at snakes outside before.
Yeah.
Too,
like through the window, she will see one of those black snakes.
Or a rattlesnake. Yeah. Rattlesnake was one.
Yeah. She actually caught two snakes. But yeah, she will see the snakes out the window and just go nuts on them. And so that's why I'm sitting outside screaming, holding Ozzy, the newly adopted dog, and holding Ghost, who he doesn't have a leash on, so I'm like grabbing him by the butt of his skin because he's like trying to run away. Yeah. While Musif's trying to attack. I literally almost had a heart attack.
Well, and we got real lucky that no one got bit. We have some rattlesnake equipment if that happens, but no anti-venom, so you know it's tough. We do have ivermectin supposedly is an anti-venom,
and we do have like dog snake bite kits, and so we should make it, you know.
So what an eventful little break. And you guys know nothing about it because we just had the fun conversation with Shannon. So let's roll back into this. Moral of the story is just pay the fuck attention. If you live in any hot climates right now, there's always these venomous critters out.
Snake struck before it started rattling.
That's one thing too that my dad said. This is the last thing that we'll say about this, but my dad, who I did call to let him know, I always tell my dad all kinds of this shit.
You tell your dad everything. I love your dad.
Yeah, he's great. And you know, he said that these snakes have been evolving to not rattle until their threat is on top of them, essentially, so they can at least bite them. I don't know. I think that it would be more helpful for them to rattle, but you know, people do kill them when they hear them. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I would still kill a snake if it bit me.
I feel like the strike was really, it wasn't calculated at all. It just like jumped up because it was laying flat like a stick. The dog pawed at it. It struck. The dog actually jumped completely over it.
Well, you know what, too? If we're going to get real conspiratorial about this, we're about to start talking about some seriously crazy shit with Gibraltar and some fucking, like, Luciferian stuff.
Yeah, the connection to all the Satanism.
Some devil stuff. And some
why there's mysticism. So many devil names. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I'm sorry I had a heart attack. I'm trying to, like, calm myself down. I almost just got eaten by a snake. One of the dogs could have died.
Okay, let's move on.
I was really lucky, and I'm sorry that, you know, it was traumatic. I'm a city girl. That was traumatic.
So we're going to start getting into, like I said, some of this more occult shit. Very, very interesting stuff.
Yeah, do you want me to talk about St. Michael's Cave?
Actually, I found something very interesting when we were doing the research. And you should remember this. This blew your mind when, you know, you do multiple weeks of research. I hop in for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Today he was like going through my notes going, yeah, this is good. This is good. Oh, wait, let me look this up real quick from what you just like wrote down and then blew my mind.
And big thanks to you for finding the stuff because you did a good job. So there's an interesting little coincidence again with all this weird, you know, Tubal Cain was a great little segue into what we're going to get into now. So people have been carrying out weird rituals and they're harnessing some sort of energy that is going on in this cave since it has been fought over. Like you said, it's been fought over at least 14 times in switched empires.
Yeah.
There's something down there.
The entire Rock of Gibraltar has been in 14 known giant sieges and battles, like just fighting over the rock itself. And since that, like since the 1500s or whatever, there's been like so many caves and so many rituals inside the caves and so many like random traveling people that will stay just on the rock. If you see a picture of the Rock of Gibraltar, you'll know that it like juts out like literally thousands and thousands of feet high right at the ocean's peak. Yeah. So it's like literally a beacon for people.
And it seems that it attracts energy even when people don't really understand what's going on. So let's get into this. So I'm going to tie in a little bit of Rosicrucianism, some alchemy, which is one of their main, I mean, they draw references from Kabbalah, Hermeticism, alchemy, and obviously Christian mysticism, which is their big, I mean, if you really just kind of want to summarize what Rosicrucianism is, it's Christian mysticism. But yes, there are these other elements sprinkled in. And these ancient civilizations, we're talking old, old civilizations, literally ancient. Rosicrucians popped up in the early 17th century from what I've gathered. It's possible that they've been around, you know, before then. There's a bit of a confusion from where they popped up. You know, mainstream history will tell you that a German document listed them first, but it would seem that they definitely came before. Before mainstream history would tell you that they came about. Now, the ancient civilizations of the world, according to your research, really only knew seven metals, but I would say it's probably more accurate to say that they utilized seven metals.
Yeah, there was only literally in ancient civilization, and we know this because like the writings and the cave drawings and everything we've accumulated in time to know about ancient civilizations, like, you know, BC pretty much, and every like cavemen, you know, little colonies that lived everywhere, they only could utilize and like yield and weld seven different metals that they could utilize.
Well, and then they also put, you know, they almost characterized these metals in different ways because there was seven holy bodies at the time as well, that which we would call planets today. And it's interesting because they don't characterize Earth as one of the planets. Yeah, and we were trying to watch As Above, So Below before today, right? Before we wanted to get into this, just because it's a fun movie that actually kind of like in a not so serious way talks about a lot of the shit. The chick is trying to learn more about alchemy because her dad was a big alchemist. I don't know if you've seen that movie to the audience here, but just check it out.
In that movie, they have alchemic stones that they've created using
alchemical.
My bad.
Yeah. Why don't you pipe down? Let me get through the story.
No, but they have these alchemy stones that are created using different metals, the seven sacred metals of alchemy. and they create these stones that are all healing. But the problem with the stones is that it's literally witchcraft. And like, I don't know if you know, but like three yeah. times three, like if you want something, it'll come back to you three times, like yeah. worse. And that's what alchemy kind of is. It's witchcraft mixed with, you know, Satanism and dark yeah. powers.
So let's break down real quick these seven bodies, which is real interesting. Again, they use a seven-pointed star to represent this whole thing, and it's truly fascinating. So you have the day, Sunday, which represents the sun, obviously, and the sun is represented by the metal gold, right? Then you move on to Monday, which is represented by the moon, also silver, okay? Then Tuesday, Mars, which was recognized back then. The planet of or the metal of Mars and Tuesday is iron, which makes sense. It's a strong metal. They would use this for war. Then you go to Wednesday, which is represented by Mercury and also the metal Mercury. Then we move over to Thursday, which is represented by Jupiter or Thor's Day, as some people call it. And that would be tin represented there. Up to Friday, which is represented by Venus. And the metal there is copper. And then we move to the last day, Saturday or Saturn Day, represented by Saturn. And you have lead. So this was the whole reason why lead was representing the darkness. Saturn is represented by darkness. You have the hexagonal weather patterns there. The hex, the idea of moving from lead to gold is representing the dark to light movement. So really, really crazy stuff there. And these were known as the seven sacred alchemical metals. You also have the seven deadly sins, right? The seven holy virtues, the seven heavenly bodies, and obviously, which is very apparent here too, the 7 days of the week. Now, there was reference to these also being the seven Luciferian metals. So that struck me when you said that in your research, and I found some interesting.
I didn't say it yet, but you're right.
No, you when you were telling me.
Oh, yeah. When I was telling you all about the notes, yes.
Yeah, so that struck me, and it made me think of something. Like, let's look into mining, because these are all metals that come from the earth. Maybe we can find some shit about this, right? So it just so happens that there is a Gibraltar copper mine in Canada, in British Columbia.
Yeah, we're trying to find, like, I couldn't find any link to the seven sacred metals of the Luciferian alchemy in Gibraltar itself. Like, there's no mines or there's no metals. It's only a limestone rock. So Ryan had the brilliant idea this morning to...
You were thinking too small.
Right. Ryan had the brilliant idea to think of, well, what mines, or like maybe there are metals associated with the name Gibraltar in the world. And this is what we found, a giant list of different mines, literally mining the seven sacred alchemy metals from the earth in the Gibraltar name.
And it's fucking crazy. So you have six different mines here, which is really, really insane. I mean, you have a Gibraltar copper mine in British Columbia, Canada, owned by a company called Taseko. And this was the first thing that I looked up. I just typed in Gibraltar copper mine. It takes you over to British Columbia, Canada, says it's owned by this company, Taseko, which mines copper, and copper obviously represented, which I just said, by Friday and Venus, one of these seven alchemical metals. Like,
the question is, what would make that company, Taseko, name that mine Gibraltar mine, even though it's in Canada, has nothing to do with Gibraltar.
Yeah.
Why is it named Gibraltar copper mine? Because it's one of the seven sacred metals.
So that was just the start. Copper being represented by Venus and Friday, one of the significant alchemical metals. Then you move on and it starts snowballing from here. You go Gibraltar silver mining. You type that in and it pulls up Gibraltar Silver Hill Mining Co., which is a zinc, not very significant, lead and silver mining company out of Nevada. Okay. You can look all these up. Again, that one is Gibraltar Silver Hill Mining Company. It is fucking insane that they do two of these seven metals. Again, lead and silver. Lead represented by Mars and Tuesday, and then silver being represented by the moon and Monday. Keep it going. Gibraltar Mercury Mine out of Montecito, California, close to your native land there.
Yeah, I can't believe there's literally a mercury mine.
Right, that is weird.
Right where like...
weeds grown?
No. Montecito is like Santa Barbara area. It's where literally the city that Michael Jackson had his pedophile ranch.
Really?
Yeah, that's Montecito. That's Santa Barbara. Yeah. It's crazy that there's a mercury mine right there. Like, it makes people go crazy, you know, mercury.
I didn't know his mine was out, or his child-ass mine was out there. No,
Montecito County.
Yeah, Gibraltar Mercury Mine out of Montecito, California. Now, let's keep it going. Gibraltar Goldfield Mines in Western Australia. We're talking cool, what is this, Coolgardie Shire? Is that what that is? Your horrible handwriting.
Coolgardie Shire. That's Coolgardie the name Shire. Of the city in Western Australia. That it's basically just a mining city.
Yeah.
And the people that all that live there are just working for this gold. It's not even a mine. It's a gold field. It's like a field of mines.
Well, and that was the thing. I spoke with the dude in Australia too, and yeah, they mine tons of fucking gold out there.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, gold is obviously represented by. And I didn't mention again Mercury being represented by Wednesday, okay, and obviously Mercury the planet. Yeah, so then you have the gold field, that's obviously the sun, and this is mined out of Australia. You wrote Austria here for some reason, but that's okay.
So wait, Australia, who knew that Western Australia was literally one of the biggest gold capitals in the world?
Well, that's TV, something. I mean, YouTube has documentaries and stuff where they talk about it.
I didn't know that it was like a gold mining, like Mecca. I had no idea.
Okay, so then we have evolving more, and this is where it kind of started to get a little difficult. You have Grassy Creek Mine out of Gibraltar Range National Park, in New South Wales. There's no such thing as a real tin mine out there.
That's weird that they decided to put it in like Gibraltar Park. Like it still.
Well, they named the park.
Right. But there's a mine there that, like, there's something there that still mines an alchemic. How do you say that?
Alchemical
metal. And it's in the name of Gibraltar still, even though it's just in the park of Gibraltar.
Yeah, and this is a cassiterite mine, and cassiterite is also known as tin. That is the scientific way.
So what is that?
The
five
industry
now?
Name. So no, we've got six. So cassiterite, tin being represented by which one is that? Thursday, that's Jupiter. And unfortunately, we couldn't find a steel mine for some reason. It got so far, we got so close, but no, it just stopped
iron.
There.
It's iron.
No, I'm just kidding. No, it's steel. No, obviously, it's a joke. I wouldn't be talking about this.
I was like, wait a minute. We found all of them, and you blew my mind this morning. Stop it.
Yeah, McCluth Steel Gibraltar Rolling Mill in Detroit, Michigan, as an iron mill. Okay, so
that's crazy, right there. There's literally all seven alchemy metals that are sacred. That have mines all around the world in the name of Gibraltar for some random reason.
All right, guys, just getting into the wild shit about Gibraltar. If you want to hear the rest of the stuff with the devil named landmarks, some more of this occult property behind Gibraltar, head on over to patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast and get the full episode, this one plus many, many more, and other rants, guys. I hope to see you over there. Thanks so much.